Hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome back. Welcome back, my sweet, sweet supporters. Welcome back to our globally recognized Can We Talk with Jewel podcast, proudly sponsored by FundraisingCup.org Ministries. I want to remind you all that this platform serves as a beacon of insightful discussion grounded in faith and honor of our Father. We discuss various topics here related to supporting communities and all walks of life as we are attracting a more diverse audience with a shared passion for growing spiritually and applying these life learned lessons to our day-to-day experiences. I want to encourage you all to continue to support this podcast and to donate because every little contribution helps. Okay, so you guys already know our ground rules by now. So I'm not even going to take up any more time breaking that down for you guys. I'm so excited and ready to dive in head first on today's podcast because it will either blow your mind or open your eyes. Either way, you're not going to leave here the same way you came in. Okay? We are going to drop some key nuggets of wisdom that may change the way you understand what's going on in the world today.
Yeah.
And by we, I mean, I brought back our brother who just loves the Bible and sharing his perception on every topic. Yes, our brother Thomas is back with us again to discuss a very thought-provoking topic, which is an object for obsession. Oh, wait till you see where we're going with this one. Welcome back, Brother Thomas. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jewel. Thank you so much. And yeah, so that we've got a time constraint here. Y'all know that we are the we do overtime, and basically that we should be called that. But we're going to try to stick within the limits, and so let's get started. So the verse of scripture that we're going to be focused with this first part is dealing with 1 Samuel, and it's chapter 8, and I'm going to read some excerpts from it, and it's there's some little nuggets in here that you really need to pay attention to. And so,
Brother Thomas, I hate to cut you off, but I want to give them a little background before you jump into that scripture, because some of them may not know where we came from with this. So I just want to give them a quick background on who we're talking about here. We're going to break down the relationship between Saul, Samuel, and of course the object of obsession, David. This is one of the most saddest stories in all of the Bible. Because it's probably the most realistic that's still happening today. Let me give you a quick background on it. Saul was first introduced to David when he asked for someone to play the harp. Saul would be in trouble in his soul, and the music from David's harp would calm him down. Saul loved David like a son until he felt threatened by David. So, with that said, I'm going to let Brother Thomas jump in on the scripture.
Okay, here we go. So, once again, we're starting with 1 Samuel chapter 8. And there are going to be some excerpts to this, and they're special. Now, I'm reading out the New Standard Version of the Bible, and so here it goes. So, in chapter 8, and it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel. Now then, the name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second, Abijah, and they were judging in Beersheba. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted judgment. And then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge, for us to judge, and us like all the nations." But the thing was displeasing in the sight of Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. They all, like all the deeds which they have done since the day that I brought them up from Egypt, even to this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now then, listen to their voice. However, you shall solemnly warn them and tell them of the procedure of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who had asked of him for a king. And he said, this will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen, and they will run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of those thousands or of fifties, and some to do his plowing, and to reap his harvest, and to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will also take your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards and your olive groves, and give them to their servants. And he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will also take your male servants and your female servants and your best young men and your donkeys and use them for his work. He will take a tenth of your flocks and yourselves with and will become his servants. You yourselves will become his servants. Then you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. And then in verse 19 it says the following. Nevertheless, the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like all nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Now after Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them to the Lord's hearing. And the Lord said to Samuel, listen to their voice and appoint them a king. So Samuel said to the men of Israel, go every man to his city. And that's the end of that scripture.
Okay, let's break that down a little bit before we jump into the next scripture.
Yes, let's do.
Ooh, that's a mouthful you gave by the time. I want to start with where our father talks about that his sons took bribes and perverted justice.
Yeah.
All right?
Yes.
This
Doesn't that sound like Jewel, what's going on today?
Yes,
I'm just amazed. That's what we were being enlightened by the scripture today, because I have never heard this before. I've never heard it even stated like this before. Now, maybe it's because I'm reading out the New Standard Version of the Bible, but it's saying that these people, his sons, were not in favor with God.
No.
And thus, do we not know that's going on right now? We do.
Yes. And it's unfortunate because here are individuals that should be put into leadership positions just based off of lineage, right?
Yeah.
And bloodlines, right?
Yeah.
They would
basically
feel entitled to be placed in a position of power. However, they were not doing what God wanted them to do.
They were taking bribes.
I mean, just imagine that. Taking bribes, and you're supposed to be of a certain bloodline, right?
Yeah.
And then, to compound matters, you're perverting justice? Let's break that down, Brother Thomas. How do you interpret perverting justice?
Well, when I saw the words perverted justice, I'm looking at it this way. Oh, wow, this is something. I think of it as like child sacrificing. And we know what's going on. Well, we know what's going on in our government and what has been going on in our government since before the day of time, that there has been this corruption, this avarice is the root of all evil. And basically, there are people out there that want child sacrifice. They want their body parts. They want all these things because of their perversion. They want this following of Baal and Beelzebub and Balthazar. And what's another one, Jewel?
Molech, I believe. I think that's the god for child sacrifice, if I'm not mistaken.
That
they may be worshiping. I don't know all of their deities.
But I know it's Balthazar, and there's a new one that's come out. There's a new fashion line that's come out, and they're saying it's perverted.
Oh, is it Balenciaga, I think?
Yes, Balenciaga. Yes.
Okay.
And you can see that. You can see that in their fashion line in this day and time. It is perverted. It is satanic. And I'm telling you, I just saw a story today, and it blew my mind. Jewel, I have to interject this. I do apologize, but it's talking about this guy who basically was he was a very beautiful man, and he had all this wisdom, and so he was saying these things, you know, about this Balenciaga, and he was saying, you know, I'm going to go talk to them. And apparently, Balenciaga generates from France, I believe. And so he went to them and talked to them. And they thought, well, okay, he's going to get some really good results, you know, because of his ability to convince people of things. Well, in the window, there is this new mannequin. And this new mannequin sure looks a lot like this guy. And they said, look at his hands. Do they not look real? Look at his eyes. Do they not look real? So in other words, the guy went and was going to face the evil, ended up being in the display window. Can you believe that one?
That's definitely perverted instinct.
Very.
You know, Brother Thomas, here's the thing. Satan and Satanists, or people who worship these various deities, one of the things that they often take pride in is putting the stuff in your face. So you can't say, oh, I didn't know. And the thing about it is, we're all so consumed with our day-to-day lives.
We're conditioned.
And it is conditioning, right? We initially, we get upset and in an uproar and say, oh, this human trafficking must stop. This stuff with Balenciaga and these children must stop. And it lasts literally for maybe 2 months max, and you guys are back in the store buying the same clothes, like you totally forgot what they put in your face.
There you go.
So we can't say that they are not letting us know what's going on, and the thing is we can't be lukewarm about how we feel about it. You know, I'm so angry because you're angry.
Hey, Jewel,
then,
I just saw something I want to interject in just a minute. After you finish, I want to say something that I remember you said about in your face. Honey, this is going to blow y'all's minds, and we said we were going to say things that's going to blow your mind. Do you want me to say what it is, or you want to continue what you're doing?
Go ahead. No, interject. It's quite okay. Go ahead.
Okay. People, y'all know the Oreo cookie, right? And you do. Do you know this? Have you ever looked at the Oreo cookie? The symbolism that's on the Oreo cookie? Did you know it was satanic? So we give those Oreo cookies to our children every single day, don't we? So in other words, you know what you're having your children do? And we have to. When we were growing up, Oreo cookies were a favorite of mine. I loved them. And they've had so many commercials about them. But guess what? Right there in plain view, satanic scripture, basically, there it's inscribed in every single Oreo cookie. When you break it down and you look at what is there, it's about the Illuminati. Oh my God.
The satanic symbol is right there. And so we're giving our children a satanic cookie. Go figure. This is why I'm saying that we've been so conditioned.
You know,
we didn't
that's
know.
The thing, Thomas. You know, a lot of this, like I said, it's in your face. Some way or the other, it's in your face. But when it becomes blatant, like when you, there's no doubt and you're like, oh my gosh, this group practices child sacrifice and they put it
right
in my face and got it on the news. And then you go and you buy the headband. It's like, so you're basically saying you support that, right?
And the Oreo
we
cookie.
Have to be mindful. We have to be mindful of what we're supporting, even subconsciously. And that's the thing. They've mastered with these commercials and things of how to get us to go along with the tunes and the screams and all of that, where we lose focus on what it is that God has ordained in
and
our
think
life
of,
and our purpose.
Jewel, think of what's going on today. Where is our focus right now? Are we not focused on the idols of Hollywood, of P. Diddy? Come on, people. All the things that he's done, they've done for centuries. Okay? It's just that he's somebody that we didn't think there ever would be, and now we're hearing all this stuff. It's just flooding the airwaves. It's on my phone. I'm sure it's on everybody's phone about what's the latest episode and who else is going to fall. And it looks like Jay-Z's involved and Beyonce's involved, and it looks like, my God, is there no end to this corruption? And
then we come to find out
that P. Diddy may be just like Epstein, that he had his own island, and he had all these cameras in his villas, and basically he got people to do things that they didn't think nobody would ever know. And now it's coming out.
Well, here's the thing, Brother Thomas. 2024 is the year of lifting the veil, and we're going to constantly hear stories about the perversion. Right? I'm going to bring it round circle back to our scripture. We're going to hear about the various perversions that have been happening behind the scenes and how they have been perverting justice for innocent children, for innocent women, and for innocent men. We're going to constantly hear about how they've been doing this so long and how it's been happening right under our noses and how people have been abusing their positions of power. And so what I found so interesting about this scripture is it lets us know that this is nothing new under the sun, right?
What?
It's been happening since the beginning of time. People who were supposed to be put in positions of leadership perverted their positions. And God said, they were not chosen by me. They have no business being judges or leaders or kings because they don't know how to display themselves in a manner in which is godly and of God.
Amen.
Right? So
that's what I took
from that. And then really quick, I want to go into being careful what you ask for, right?
Yeah.
These people, they remind me of people that's always studying other people and wanting to be like the Joneses. Brother Thomas, like, oh, what they
grass
got?
Grass is always greener on the other side.
The grass is always greener. I just know I have to be better than them. That's it. Whatever they got, I need 10 times that. You know what I mean? And
the perversion of it,
We need... I mean, we know we can't have them. They're perverted. But what we need is we need a king like the other people have. And we need him to do exactly what the other people are doing. No, you don't, because you were a chosen group. You don't need to conduct yourself anything like what they're doing over there. They don't have it under control over there.
Right.
They're perverting justice over there, too. You don't need to set up. You don't need to set up your infrastructure like them. You don't know who they're bringing their kids to be sacrificed to, and it looks all glitz and glam on the outside, but on the inside, they're murderers. All right?
Yes.
They are perverts, and you don't want to be a part of what they are building over there.
No.
You stay over here, right? And just be chosen people of God. And you know the laws because they're within you. Live accordingly.
Yeah.
You don't need to mold yourself after them. But they weren't careful, Brother Thomas, for what they asked for. And what did God end up telling them was going to happen if they got what the other people over there got going on?
Exactly. You get what you pay for.
You're going to get what you pay for. You over there, you had all this free time. They going to make you have to, you know, work harder, pay this amount in taxes, do all this.
But here's the thing, Jewel. You realize that God gave them free will. You know, we all have that free will. But
we have to make a
discernment. We have to make a decision. A stand on your principles decision. And you have to realize that if you don't stand up today, tomorrow, that evil's going to be at your back door. And that's a fact. And so that's what's happening to us. You remember, we thought that, I've even had some people on some other avenues have said, basically, that we were the most sought-after government in the world. And we were the ones that just felt like that we were in such favor of everybody. Not true!
Yeah.
Do you know majority of the world hates us, Jewel?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Because
they hate us because we try to inflict our beliefs on theirs. Who gives us that power? Right?
About the Thomas, I don't know. I don't know.
Who decides? Who makes that decision of right and wrong? So they do things a little bit different than we do. Does that make them wrong? No. They just have a variance.
I'm going to tell you this, Brother Thomas. I know I shared with you offline before that my family comes from the Caribbean. And I think I'm the first generation that was born here in America, right? And they came, everyone was so eager to get over here. I mean,
the land of milk
all
and
you
honey.
Heard, yep, all you heard, this was the land of milk and honey, and there's so much money to be made over here. You just need to flock over here and get this money, and then you send the money back to your land, and da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, you guys, those of you who have parents that came from different countries, you can relate to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I laugh because now everyone's here and they work so hard, right? They work all year. You might get 4 or 6 weeks vacation to do what, Brother Thomas? To go back over there.
Hey, Jewel, where's that milk and honey we were promised?
How much do y'all
pay for milk? Let me say this. We'll say really brass tack here. How much do y'all pay for milk and honey in the grocery store? So, you know, and then what about the land? Let's talk about land. So, you know, we realize that this country was built on land grabs. Really? So milk of land and honey, and here it is. We are in 2024, and we're still striving for that land of milk and honey. And we're sure not seeing it, are we, as taxpayers?
No, we're not seeing it. Not only are we not seeing it, but I find you're probably more enslaved over here than you were over there because
amen,
at least.
Please pay it on. Yeah, our 9-to-5 jobs that we're being given is slavery.
It's modern day, right? And when you think, when I go back to visit, when you go there on vacation and you see the workers, they're so relaxed, Thomas. I don't even think they know what time it is, you know, when you, you know, they base it on whether the sun is setting or whether the sun is rising, how they move about. And there's not this hustle and bustle and stress and you know, the master griffin is spending too much time in the bathroom and on the phone, and, you know, the wisdom and discernment about what you were chasing, at some point, it hits you that maybe this wasn't it, right? And instead of rerouting, coming back up with another plan to divert yourself back to a better circumstance, people are choosing perversion.
Well, Jewel, do you realize that our banking system was set up by the Rothschilds? Now, let me tell you about that. So the Rothschilds came to this country, and they basically decided that they were going to set up the banking system so that all the people, the serfs, would they have to be, you know, putting all of their monies that they were being paid into a central banking system. And we did. But we were charged fees. See, I don't know y'all have bank fees, right? But you know what else they did? They decided for us, you know, well, let's just create this new thing where it's called credit. Think about what credit got y'all people. I know it got me in trouble. Because I work outside my budget. So when you work outside your budget, what do? You have to have one or two jobs to pay for all those bills, right? So, again, what did they do? All the riches that you thought you were going to get are nothing because they're taxing you to the hilt. You're paying sales tax, gas tax. If you have a pet, you pay pet tax. If you get married, you have a marriage tax. You see all the taxing that's going on? And so when they get all those taxes out of your paycheck, where do you stand? Poverty. Literally. But you see, they promised us the golden ring, didn't they? They promised the golden ring. But there's no golden ring. The only ones that's got the golden ring are the privileged, the elite, the cabal, the government.
But Brother Thomas, isn't it ironic that the Lord predicted you're going to have to pay all these taxes if you try to live over there like that. This is what's going to happen.
Right.
And they're like, no, we just want to emulate them, and we want to look at them, look like them.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that you're bringing punishment onto yourself trying to circumvent the structure in which God set forth for you that was just different. Right?
And then here's the other thing, Jill, that I told you about off the talk about in this afternoon. You remember talking about the black lady who found out that what's going on at the border with, you know, our government's encouraging abortion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Encouraging abortion. But when they have these immigrants come across, they're telling them, oh, no, there's no abortion. You can have as many children as you want. In fact, we're going to give you $400,000. You heard me correctly, people. They're going to give them $400,000. They're going to give them free health care. They're going to give them a Social Security card. They're going to be able to go out and buy weapons. And get this, majority of those Army-age guys are being hired by our United Nations. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to be the ones that are going to be knocking on your door eventually because your local police and everything are going by the wayside because good old JoJo up there is going to say, well, we need the UN to run our country. Since when? United Nations is going to rule our country? Are y'all in favor of that one? I'm not. I ain't in favor of it, but that's what's going to happen. You see what we did? We closed our eyes. We said, oh, it ain't going to be mattering to us. So those few people are crossing the border, right? It don't matter to me. Oh, it don't, does it? Well, think about the latest news thing. How many people have seen the bridges that have been blocked? And how many people are following what's happening right now with all the riots in the major cities? And the police are being attacked. And what are those people asking for? You know, you give them an inch and they take a mile, Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
You see what they're saying now? They're saying, but we're being kicked out of that 5-star hotel. We demand our housing. We demand all, and they're saying, excuse me? Our American citizens are saying, excuse me? When do these people get to be at the front of the line? Hello, I've paid my taxes for X number of years, and they get to get all these benefits? Let me tell you something. I'm a senior citizen, people. I make for my Social Security. These people can come into this country, and they get $10,000 a month. Free health care. I have to pay for my health care, and I'm sure you do, too. Where's the fairness in that? Where is it? You see, this is the whole thing. The land of milk and honey? Ha! There's no land of milk and honey here. We're third world country right now. We are. We're no different from Venezuela. Do you know that, Jill?
Well, Brother Thomas, I want to jump in to this this next scripture reading because, you know, I know we do overtime. We can get into this and go overtime.
Well, honey, we're only at 29 minutes right now. 29 minutes.
We're making progress because we have quite a few scriptures we want to dissect. So let me jump into the next one and let's see if we can keep on track. I'm going to read a little bit of how Saul jealousy of David grew and the things he plotted and planned around David. And this is going to give you guys some wisdom on some of the things people still do today covertly. And that's one of the things I love so much about the Bible, because I keep telling you guys, there's nothing new under the sun. The only difference is people haven't learned the lessons, or the demons in them haven't learned the lessons. And
exactly.
They do the same exact plays over and over again. So let's jump into 1 Samuel 18, verses 5 through 21. And David went out whithsoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000? And to me they have ascribed but 1,000? And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass in the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merab, Her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battle. For Saul says, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said unto Saul, who am I? And what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel, the, what is it, Maholathite, the wife. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistine may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. Okay. We got through
that's
that.
That's a lot.
That was a lot. And we got through it. And it was an important scripture. We picked out a few of these key scriptures. And those of you that have been following, when we break it down, you will understand why it's important to note this form of jealousy and the extent in which Saul would go because of that evil spirit within him growing and growing and wanting to harm David at all costs.
Yes.
And you know, David continued to evade Saul's plots and plans, right? Because as they said several times, the Lord was with him. Praise God. But the idea that Saul would plan to give him his own daughter to hurt this man would tell you that something's not right upstairs.
Right?
We're doing
well,
too much.
Well,
at one point we said we're doing too much.
He's consumed
right? But
with
that's
evil.
The thing. When you're consumed by evil, the things you think about doing, it's not even logical. It's just so darn evil. You know? And here's David. I don't know if you guys noticed, but I noticed it. It was a constant theme as I read that they said, but David was wise in how he dealt with Saul.
Yeah.
No matter what, he just would not succumb to Saul's wickedness.
Right.
And that's the challenge that we all have to face today, whether it be with our families, with the government, with our neighbors. We have to try our best not to succumb to the wickedness and allow that evil spirit that took over Saul to have an entry point in our hearts and minds.
Right.
Do you agree, Brother Thomas?
Well, totally, and I'm just going to throw it back to what's happening right now, Jewel. So you realize all of our kids have cell phones, right? And do you not think that they are being amazed and somewhat admiring all of the idols that we have in Hollywood, and they're at their fingertips, basically. And so all of the news media is flocking around, and I guess I'm going to step on some toes here, the Swifties, okay? But realize that those people are just people. They are not anybody to be praised, worshipped, and that's what we're doing. We set these people up as our idols. Think of the music thing, American Idol. What was that about, Jewel? American Idol. So, in other words, you were having your people out there who had talent, and there's a lot of talent out there in this world. And basically you were saying, okay, people who have talent or think you have talent, we're going to have judges who are going to decide whether you have talent or not. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so American Idol became the most watched TV show. And it really put Fox on the network of all networks because people flocked to that, and people who, advertisers and everything jumped on board with it because it was such a new concept. Really, was it?
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. What did the people think of whenever Aaron built that golden calf? Was that not an idol?
Mm-hmm.
Was it something that we sought after then? The Israelites
mm-hmm.
did, because they had been taught pagan idols from the Egyptians, right? And even
mm-hmm.
though they knew that the Egyptians were evil, they still sought after their pagan gods, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
They did. So that's what we've got going on right now, Jewel. We have pagan gods.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we doing? We're walking around going crazy about just getting a glimpse of them, taking maybe a one photograph, and we're going, oh my God. Really? Really? So those people are more important in your life than your own son or daughter? Huh? Do we realize what we have allowed to happen, Jewel? We have opened our doors to this evil world.
Mm-hmm.
And we accept it. And so here we are now facing all these trials and tribulations. And we are facing them. But yet we still can't keep our eyes off of those idols, now can we? I remember when people were idolizing Hillary Clinton. Now we've heard things about her, haven't we? And I won't go political, I'm just saying. There are people out there in this world that we set them up on pedestals. Beyonce, come on, people. All right? Think of what we're doing. Where should we be putting our emphasis, Jewel? You know. God.
God.
God should be our emphasis, not these plastic idols. And most of these plastic idols are practicing satanic rituals. And if they're doing that, how do you think they're keeping their beauty? Huh? They're taking a little jab here and a little jab there, you know? And they're doing it at the expense of our children. The child trafficking. So it all comes full force back to evilness of this world. And God is fed up. He's fed up.
Yes. I just want to point out a few key tokens that I took from this particular scripture that I never noticed before. And I want to share that with them really quickly, Brother Thomas.
Sure.
In verse 7,
sure.
Where it states, "And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands and David's 10,000s. Those of you who I've shared many times that my favorite scripture is Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91, most of you know that the Psalms are Psalms of David. And one of the things that I realized David was talking about, he was referencing this time when he says, a thousand shall fall at my side and 10,000
mm-hmm.
at my right hand. So he was
mm-hmm.
referencing this time with Saul when 10,000 fell at his hand, and it was compared to Saul's 1,000. And the other thing that I wanted to point out, I don't know if any of you guys have noticed, but some people may have wondered, well, if David was going to be this great king all of along, why did we go through all of this stuff in the first place with Saul
mm-hmm.
and Samuel and all of this chaos that seems unnecessary? Well, here's the thing. David had to go through his trial as a chosen king. That cannot be avoided for any of us, right? Even if it's already placed on your life to be a leader of some sort, you have to face your trials. There's no shortcut.
Yes.
And even after, you would think, because David slaughtered Goliath, right? You would think, okay, give him his promotion. No, it was not enough. He needed these experiences with Saul and to gain that wisdom of understanding that even though the enemy attacked him over and over and over again, he had to maintain the same frequency.
Yes.
All right. He could not match the enemy at that level. We don't go lower. We don't attack the same way they attack us. We just turn to God and we keep on walking in our light no matter what they do. Now, the last thing I wanted to point out, and Thomas, feel free to point out anything you've taken from the scripture that you think could be helpful to our community and our supporters, is how God will use people that the enemy set up for your bad, for your good. Saul had no idea that his daughter would end up warning David to get out.
Yeah.
The same daughter he wanted to set up David with and bring him to his knees was the same person that ended up telling David, you need to get out of here. He's trying to kill you. God spoke through that person. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys, because sometimes you may be in situations that are grim. And I can testify, okay? You may be in situations where people are perverting justice. You may be in situations where people are doing everything they possibly can to harm you, take you out, all of the stuff that he's got, that he's gone through. You may be the living word, playing it out, modern day. But don't ever underestimate the power of God in bringing the right people into your life to warn, protect, and save you in a timely fashion. Right, Brother Thomas?
Yes, yes, exactly. And can I instill something that, you know, when I found from my scripture? And I alluded to it with you, Jewel, before we ever started this podcast today. And it was what I found, and it's so interesting, you know, because the people of Israel, they went to Samuel and they said, you know, hey, we need somebody who's going to be a king. And so that is that's back in Samuel, people. And so what this is looking at, and it has to do with the Israelites, the Zionists of Israel today, they have always, and if you think about Jesus' time, who did the Pharisees and the Sadducees were looking for? They were looking for a king, were they not? They were looking for a Messiah, someone who was going to be coming and rescuing them from the mean old Romans, right? So here's what he's saying. He says, you know, the people refuse to listen to the voice of Samuel because Samuel says, hello, beware of what you ask for. Because if you seek out this person, you've got to realize this person's got his own thinking and he ain't going to combine. He's not going to follow what your will is. And so they're saying, we don't care. You know, you're wise, Samuel. You'll get us the right guy. Let's see about that. So then Samuel said he took the words of the people and he repeated them to the Lord. And the Lord said this. He said, listen to their voice and appoint them a king. So Samuel said to the men of Israel, go every man to his city. Now the whole thing of this is, people, that those people have still in search of their king. They are. When they don't realize the king was amongst them. Jesus.
Jesus is King. Yes. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And they didn't even realize it, that he was in their midst. And what did they do? They persecuted him. They rebuked him. And this is what God is facing right now. Everything that's going on in this world is rebuking God. Saying out loud that Jesus doesn't live. How can these people be such hypocrites? You were given your kings. You were given your queens. What did they do for you? Nothing. Nothing. All they did was wrap their royal robes around them, and they only consumed what was theirs. And you were tossed by the wayside. Same thing happens today. Same thing happens today. So, wake up, people. Don't place your emphasis on mankind. Place your emphasis on Godkind. Okay? Follow the Word of God. Follow His example. He's given you examples. Here was, you know, Saul. He was a nobody. Okay? And he was put up there in the rise of fame. And so he got all these riches and accolades and all this kind of stuff. And what did he do with it? He got consumed with this accolades and these riches, and he wanted to consume and he wanted to keep them. And so then he allowed the evil demon of jealousy to set in and to twist his mind. And that's what we're doing today. We're doing the same thing. We're looking for that savior, for that person that's going to make us great again, right? Because we think that we've fallen from grace and we need this great again, right? Who can give us grace, Jewel?
Our Father.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. Those are simple words, people. Simple. So why are we striving to look for grass is greener on the other side? Why can't we be happy in the simple things that what God has set forth? And it's this. Jesus is a living being. Okay? And he lives within your temple, your body. And if he lives there, you will live a godly life. I guarantee it. And so for those who don't have the temple, don't have Jesus in their temple, they're the ones that you're seeing are becoming the idols. They're the ones who are doing the satanic rituals. They're the ones who are doing the perversions. Yes, they are. So wake up. You got two choices. God gives you that free will. You can go the materialistic way. You can go the Swifty way. You can go the P. Diddy way. You get what I'm getting at. But it's fake. It's false. It's not going to last, just like Saul saw it. His riches and glory were not going to last because David was promised. God sought him out. Jesus is from the house of David, people. Do y'all realize that?
Amen,
amen and amen.
Now, Brother Thomas, this is usually where our cutoff point would be, but since this is a two-part series of this breakdown, we're going to continue, but I'm going to give you guys an opportunity. Call this a biblical intermission, if you will. So you can go grab something to drink because we are ready. We are ready, came prepared to
and
dive right
you know,
into
Jewel, maybe we should tell them that, you know, we're not doing this in a nice time of hour. We're actually into
no,
another morning
no.
already.
Yeah, we're pretty dedicated with this one, but this one needed to get out. And I know those of you who usually see my podcast come out on Sunday or Monday were probably wondering, hey, I haven't seen it. But we knew that this was going to be so heavy, we had to prepare ourselves. So we're about to dive into the part two part. This gets so meaty because I'm telling you, in this story, there's so much going on that relates to the people's minds and thoughts and perversions and plots and plans and schemes that are still happening, that we want to give you this wisdom, break it down, and then allow you to go forth and see it with your own eyes. So, with that said, I'm going to jump right into when Saul tries to kill David, and he's done this like numerous times. You see, he already started with his daughters, and it gets better. So,
well, he's possessed. He's possessed to try to kill David. He's possessed with it.
He is. And if you guys remember that the evil spirit consumed him. And that's the thing. When people are possessed, I'm going to just divert really briefly. They cannot stop. They cannot stop. They can't sleep without thinking of ways to conquer and destroy. Because
it is an evil
within them, right? So when you are sleeping, or David is sleeping and at peace and at rest, they are up still thinking of plots and plans and sorcery and witchcraft and all kinds of evil. Because what does the Lord say? There will be no rest for the wicked.
Yeah, so they're not. They're tortured souls. Okay? They really are.
It's like a tortured soul that cannot stop. So we're going to go right into it. First Samuel. Mm-hmm. Chapter 19, verses 1 through 17. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan liked David very much. Jonathan warned him, "My father's soul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be very careful tomorrow morning. Find a place to hide and stay there. My father and I will come and stand in the field where you are hiding. I'll speak to him about you. Then I'll tell you what I find out." Jonathan told his father Saul some good things about David. He said to him, "Please, don't do anything to harm David. He hasn't done anything to harm you. And what he's done has helped you a lot. He put his own life in danger when he killed Goliath. The Lord used him to win a great battle for the whole nation of Israel. When you saw it, you were glad. So why would you do anything to harm a man like David? He isn't guilty of doing anything to harm you. Right. Why would you want to kill him without any reason?" Saul paid attention to Jonathan. Saul made a promise. He said, "You can be assured that the Lord lives, and you can be just as sure that David will not be put to death." Jonathan sent for David and told him everything he and Saul had said. Then he brought David to Saul. David served Saul as he had done before. Once more, war broke out. So David went out and fought against the Philistines. He struck them down with so much force that they ran away from him. But an evil spirit sent by God came on Saul. It happened as he was sitting in the house and holding his spear. While David was playing the harp, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with his spear. But David got away from him just as Saul drove the spear into the wall that night. David escaped. Saul sent the men to watch David's house. He told them to kill David the next morning. But David's wife, Michal, warned him. She said, "You must run for your life tonight. If you don't tomorrow, you will be killed." So Michal helped David escape through a window. He ran and got away. Then Michal got a statue of a god. She laid it on David's bed. She covered it with clothes. And she put some goat hair in the place where David's head would have been. Saul sent the men to capture David, but Michal told them he's sick. Then Saul sent the men back to see David. He told them, bring him up here to me in his bed. Then I'll kill him. But when the men entered, the only thing they found in the bed was the statue. Some gold hair was at the place where David's head would have been. Saul said to Michal, why did you trick me like this? Why did you help my enemy escape? Michal told him, he said to me, help me get away. If you don't, I'll kill you. So I'm going to stop right there.
So Jewel, so much for family loyalty, right?
Oh, the family loyalty is out the door, and I think many of us can relate.
Don't you know that drove Saul even more crazy? That his own flesh and blood thought to deceive him?
Because they knew. But this was an innocent man, right? And God was within them to say, I'm not going to be a part of this plot on killing an innocent man.
Right.
I'm allowing the Lord to use me to free this innocent soul. That enraged, you notice again, it said that evil spirit consumed Saul. And Brother Thomas is going to read a scripture where we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the spiritual realm of all of this after this verse. But I want to touch on it a little bit to let you guys know about the spiritual part of what's happening is nothing new. You see, people are not just attacking you on a physical level. You're being attacked also on a spiritual level, where they're using evil spirits. They're conjuring up evil spirits. And again, this is nothing new because the Lord mentioned this twice. I don't know if you guys heard that in the previous scripture where they mentioned again this evil spirit consuming Saul, right?
Right.
It's not an attitude. It's not a persona. It's an evil spirit that's coming over him where he lost control of himself. He has no control at this point. His mind is reprobate, and he's gone. He's here saying, I got to kill. I got to kill. I got to kill.
Right.
This is mentally gone, right?
Right.
And so, again, you know, we laugh. I'm chuckling, and I don't mean to chuckle because I know what it's like to deal with reprobate minds of people that you can't logically try to work with. You just need to get away. You just need to escape by any means necessary because the people around you don't see this person is taken over by a spirit. They're trying to kill. I have no time to explain who, what, where, when, and why. I just know the Lord is with me and I got to get away from them. Right?
Yeah.
And so I see that happening here with David. I'm just like, wow, this has happened before, ladies and gentlemen, and it's still happening. God will put people in your life to give you the heads up, right? And tell you, hey, I don't know if you knew, but you need to take another look at that person. There's a spirit in them and they have a reprobate mind. You may want to take stage left.
Jerry, I don't know about stage left, maybe stage right.
Or stage right. Whichever way you're going to go, you're going to get away from them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened here, just so timely with David, right?
Yeah.
Is that the people around him, God used, right? So even if you're in the heat of the storm, because this is all to build David up. At this time, David has no idea.
with First Samuel.
In harm's way.
Hey, Jewel, you fell out of,
yes,
of recording. Did you know?
No, I didn't.
Yes. We lost you, so I was kind of getting ready to do mine, but you can finish up. I was just telling them that Saul was so consumed with this evilness over years that it still, mm-hmm, you know, he could not believe that his family, his own family, betrayed him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can take a, you
yeah,
can continue.
But you disappeared.
No, you're absolutely right. Hey, listen, the betrayal is part of the victory, right? So you can't,
yeah,
get there, right, without going through these same stages of these chosen leaders before you. They all,
uh-huh,
dealt with the betrayal. They've all dealt with people coming for their lives, right?
Uh-huh.
And at the
right,
same time, they had to keep going. They didn't,
yes,
have time to turn around and say, but wait a minute, I'm innocent. You shouldn't be doing this. What's going on? No. You, all you know is grab your stuff and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the chosen ones before David, that's what he did. He got out of Dodge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I applaud him for it. I applaud him for, you know, not being so loyal to Saul that he loses himself. And that's a whole nother lesson within a lesson of loving yourself.
Oh, yeah. Well,
right?
I think he
right?
actually had, I think, Jill, I think, yeah, he had people that came into his life and told him and warned him. But I do believe he had godly intervention, really. I think he, through dreams, I believe, you know, and we get that.
Mm-hmm.
We have dreams
oh,
today,
yes,
people, if you, if
that's
you open
a whole
your mind.
Thing.
Oh,
mm-hmm,
tell me, it
mm-hmm
is. It is. But I think that's basically, you know, he had those people that gave him warnings, like, you know, Jonathan and, you know, and that, I'm sure that blew David away as well. So, hello, you're Saul's son. Why are you doing this? He said, because I know you're doing the right thing. My father's kind of loopy right now, and we need to kind of like try to turn him back around, and I'll do my best to do so. But, you know,
mm-hmm,
it continued. And then, you know, David's wife even said, hello, you know, you got to get out of town. He's fixing to kill you.
Yeah.
So, you know, these things have happened. And it's just like today, people, you know, God has his ways of speaking to us. And I'll tell
mm-hmm
you, we need to listen to that fine, soft voice.
Yes.
See, God doesn't speak in a loud, thunderous tone. He doesn't. He speaks in a soft voice. You know why he speaks in a soft voice, Jewel? Do you know who gets the most attention if you're talking in a room? Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the person who has the loud voice. Do you know who gets the most attention? The one who has a soft voice. The one who barely speaks above a whisper. And it was told that Jesus did the same thing. He spoke with a whisper. Now, why did he do that? Because people had to lean in to hear him, right? So, in other words, it's a motivational tool. So, when you have to lean in to hear what this person's saying, you're putting all of your attention on that person and what he's saying. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having the one that's got the megaphone, right, and they're blaring in your ear,
yes,
right? You don't
yes
need that. You don't need that.
That's
God
true
doesn't do that. He tries to get you to listen carefully, to discern
yes
between the evil words that God, that the devil is trying to put in your ear. And let me tell you, people, the devil loves to put little things in your ear. Certainly does. But what you got to do is realize that Jesus, God, he speaks in a soft, tender voice. So you got to listen for that small voice. In other words, you know, I've heard it said that when you get so in tune with God, you can hear him speaking, just like I'm speaking to you right now. He'll say, hey, do you really think this is right thing to do? Kind of like, get it in your head. Rationalize it. But
yeah,
if it don't feel right, don't do it.
Listen to your inner voice, because everyone has an inner voice. Do you know what the inner voice is, Jewel?
Go right ahead, Thomas. Here.
Conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Your conscience. So when you got, and I think of the cartoon, I can't remember what cartoon it was, where they've got the kid, okay, and he's got the evil one on one shoulder, and he's got the angel on the other shoulder, right? You remember the cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
You remember it? And so the one with the evil had the pitchfork and the forked, you know, tail, and he's saying, uh-huh, and then the angel's saying, don't do that, that's not good. You don't want to go that way. And he said, but you, and the other one's screaming. So here's the thing. That's the discernment. So when you talk, when you listen to your inner voice, that's your conscience. So God is speaking through your conscience. It's there. Listen to it. Okay.
Yes. Yes, sir. And I'm just going to add this before Brother Thomas goes into this next scripture, which is going to really, it's going to open your eyes, right? So especially the way we're going to interpret it to you, because you probably never had it interpreted this way. Those of you who have grown up in the church and so forth, I don't think they really delve in a little bit. But before Brother Thomas gets into the scripture about mediums and Saul reaching out to a medium, I want to preface it by saying that the Lord communicates to people in different ways. And I say that to say, some people, like my brother Thomas, he communicates with our Father through numbers. Numbers is
you're gonna make me think sound like I'm crazy. You're talking about my God.
And I want to point this out because a lot of people would be like, well, there's no way you're supposed to go into this. What kind of talk is it, Thomas, that they believe is the only way to communicate with God? It's not really like a.
Oh, you got to be in the spirit. You got to be up to God's level. You got to be, you know, you got to be right with God.
Let me dive in a little bit even deeper, right? God can communicate to some people through dreams. He can communicate through animals. He can communicate through prophecy. He can communicate with people in different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can have these gifts, because God says he gives people gifts. These are gifts. And they're not supposed to be used gifts. The reason you're given these gifts is because you're supposed to use them for the kingdom, for the righteousness, to help build the kingdom, right?
Right.
However,
right.
Some people choose to use their gifts for darkness. And this is why the Lord says to avoid these people.
Right.
So don't get it misconstrued that you're supposed to avoid all people with gifts. No, because there are some people with gifts that will help you on your journey and use their gifts in life. But then there's a group of people, a vast group, that want to take shortcuts, that don't mind sacrificing people and family members and so forth, that will use the gifts given to them by God.
Yes.
To harm, to hurt, for greed, for power, for clout, for acknowledgement. These are the tentacles that God said, do not consult with, do not work with, do not have anything to do with, because they are perverted in how they live their life. So anyway, with that said, I'm going to let Brother Thomas go into the scripture, and we're going to dissect that a little bit more for you.
All righty, so let's see here. I've got 1 Samuel, and this is chapter 28. And what this is basically, I'm going to preface this with saying, basically, you know, Samuel is really old, and he's now passed, basically. And Saul basically looked, and everybody did. Samuel was a seer. And what I mean by that is he could see into the future. And that is why Saul was actually put into,
I agree.
What?
Yes.
Okay. So Saul was actually put into his realm through Samuel, because Samuel had a vision, like a dream, and he says, you know, I can't find this man that these people want to be their king. I've looked. I can't find him. He says, well, so the Lord spoke to him and said, hey, guess what? The next man who comes into your vision tomorrow morning, that's the guy. That's my guy, okay? And so this is where Saul came into the picture. I mean, he was there to find out where his father's donkeys were. Now, that goes into another part of the scripture, and we won't go into it. But anyway, his father, Kish, basically had some donkeys, and they went astray. And so, you know, Saul was tasked with taking a few servants and going out and try to find them big-um donkeys. Well, anyhow, so what happened was he happened to be at the right place at the right time. Wouldn't you say, Jewel? I think so. To be given the king of the Israelites. Seriously, you know. And so, yeah, he let all this goodness go to his head, and then he was threatened. And so, here's what's happened now. So basically, you know, Saul looks upon Samuel for wisdom and guidance, and we all have people out there. A lot of our grandparents or whatever are wisdom and guidance, and they can direct us. But, you know, he had passed. And so then here's Saul going, whoo, what am I going to do now? So here we go with the scriptures, okay? So it says this. So the Philistines gathered together and came and camped in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they camped in Gilboa. When Saul saw the camp of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. When Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him. Remember what he said, that the Lord wouldn't answer whoever the king that they appointed? Remember that? Well, here it is. So then it said this, he says, okay, the Lord's saying, you know, I'm not listening to you. I don't answer to you. Who are you looking for? So then Saul said to his servant, seek for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And her servant said to him, behold, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor. Then Saul disguised himself. Now let me say why he disguised himself, okay? Because he had been persecuting all these mediums. He did not want anybody to be have any kind of things that might be detriment to him, wouldn't you say, Jewel? Wouldn't you say that? They didn't want anybody. So basically, he was basically killing them and saying, hello, I don't want none of these people in my kingdom. So he was killing them. So here he goes, and he's saying, okay, he's going to disguise himself by putting on other clothes, and went, and he with two other men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, conjure up for me, excuse me, I lost the place, conjure up for me, please, and bring up for me whom I shall name to you. Now, that's an interesting thing. So, but the woman said to him, behold, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off those who are the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why are you here then laying a snare for my life to bring about my death? And Saul vowed to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, there shall no punishment come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. Huh? Samuel? When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid, but what do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a divine being coming up out of the earth. And he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped with a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel. And he bowed with his face to the ground and did homage.
Then Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me? In other words, he's in peaceful sleep, you know? And so he's saying, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered and said, I am greatly distressed, for the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me, and I don't know what to do. And so he says, I need answers. And so he said, therefore, I have called you that you may make known to me what I should do. And Samuel said, why then do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? And the Lord has done accordingly as he spoke through me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, to David. How's that?
Excellent. Excellent, Brother Thomas. Excellent. So thank you for covering this this particular scripture of Saul consulting a medium. And I want to jump right in and identify what's going on here and what the problem here is with what Saul did. So basically, because Saul was so jealous and envious of David and his reputation and his concern about him becoming this king, he conjured up Samuel, right, through a medium. Now, previously I spoke with you guys about God giving people gifts, right? And it's one thing, it's one thing for someone to tell you, hey, I had a dream. You're going to be king. Kind of like Joseph. Joseph had that gift, right? He can see what was going to happen in the future and say, hey, I had a dream. This was going to happen. David's going to be king. Okay. That's where the ball stops. It ends. That's the gift that was given to you. No more. Here's where it jumps into a whole other evil realm, right, where it's being used for darkness. When you use your gift and then try to alter what prophecy is. So you're not supposed to change what God has destined for someone's life.
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
By him conjuring up Samuel, and Samuel had to say to him, why did you disturb me? Because he did not belong in that dimension.
No,
he should not be there. You didn't go to someone that just had a gift to tell you what was going to happen. You wanted to conjure somebody up to change it.
Yeah.
You wanted to use magic. You wanted to use sorcery. You wanted to, this is where we have a problem with witches, warlocks, and sorcerers.
Yeah.
You are not called to change what God has destined for anyone's life.
All right.
And I want to make that clear because, you know, there's a lot of narcissistic people that feel they need to be in such control, like they're gods of this earth.
Yes.
To not just change prophecy, but they...
Yeah.
They even want to take someone else's destiny. Do you understand how crazy that sounds? That's not your story.
Today. It's happening in the daytime.
It's happening today. It's still happening today. And they're going to these mediums to say, well, what can I sacrifice to have David's life? What can I give to walk in David's victory?
Yes.
But here's the thing. They don't want to go through what David had to go through. You see the problem?
Yeah.
They don't want to deal with someone coming after your life and trying to kill you for years.
Yeah.
But they want the prosperity that comes with overcoming that trial.
Right. They want the shortcut. The shortcut version.
This is the problem that we're still seeing played out today? Nothing is new under the sun. No one wants to work for their own destiny.
Right.
They're too busy looking over the fence, contacting mediums to find out who in my family has a gift. Who in my family is going to live in prosperity? When does it say it's going to happen, and how can I intervene, sacrifice something, someone to take it?
Yes, that's true. True.
This is what's happening behind the scenes. On an individual level, on a global level, on an international level, this is what's still being played out today.
Exactly.
And I wanted
to, government.
I had to bring you from the top to the bottom and break this down.
Yeah.
Right, Brother Thomas? You can go, you can jump in at any time, but I wanted to emphasize what we're seeing here.
Well, here's the thing. So, you know, these people, they love the power that they're in.
Well.
You know? And that's it. And so this power that they've got a taste of, they like it. And so they don't want to give it up. They don't want to give it up for nobody. And so what is happening, and right now, and what you're seeing is this music industry thing, I am just floored by it. I had no idea that these people were cutthroat.
Yeah, people left and right.
Oh,
this
my God. They're so
cutthroat. Absolutely ridiculous.
And it's just, and you see it from a different facade. Because I'll tell you, I remember when Miss Beyonce came on the scene, and everybody thought she was just graceful. And she was angelic, and now you're seeing that she was not, and she is not, and basically she is a demon. She's consumed by the devil and his evil ways, and they had a little bit too much of the Kool-Aid, Jewel, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, and these things that they've been given by the power of the devil, they are now consumed with it. They're consumed with it. And so the devil don't care. He don't care who's sacrificed. It doesn't matter to him. It's just
this
you go through the ritual.
Yeah. This is
you go through the
ritual.
And that's
exactly what it is. It's ritual. Ritual.
Yeah.
From the time of Moses to today, these people are still outside under the moon in the woods with animals and conducting ritual.
Yes.
Guys, you don't want to hear me break it down anymore today.
It's worship. It's worshiping Satan. Beelzebub. Whoever else you want to call in. Mork, whatever his name is. I can't think of it. Moloch. I mean, all these people are basically taking young lives and sacrificing them.
Innocent people. Innocent children. I want you to hear me. Those of you that have children. Innocent children are being sacrificed because they heard, and believe me, these stars know who we are that are giving gifts. They know who we are. They heard that at such and such an age, this gift is going to be given to such and such. Well, let me try to jump in. A month before they turn that age, and see if I can snatch it.
Yeah, that's true. That's
crazy. What's going on in your
That's
family?
True. Well, that's the reason why, Jewel, you know, I don't have my family anymore. My daughters, I don't have them anymore, and I don't have my sisters anymore.
Well, let's think about this, right? Let's think, and I don't mean to cut you off, Brother Thomas, but the betrayal of family stepping away from certain people that are receiving these gifts is nothing new. Let's look at Joseph. Look at Joseph.
Yeah.
Instead of his family saying, oh my goodness, we got a gem here in our family.
Okay.
We all need to keep it quiet, and Joseph can help us get to the promised land, to the milk and honey, because he's touched by God. No, they didn't see it that way.
Uh-uh.
See, and that's how we're supposed to see it, Thomas. We're supposed to be ready and willing to pass the torch. Whatever my gift is, if the Lord says, Jewel, this is where you're supposed to take your gift and pass it to Thomas, and Thomas is supposed to take his gift and pass it to Pastor and Pastor, you should be ready and willing to do your job for the kingdom and pass
take
that
up the
torch.
Cross and carry it.
You don't look at your brother and sister and get upset and say, well, how come he chose such and such to take the torch up 3rd Avenue and only brought me up to 2nd Avenue? That's none of your business.
That's right.
You can't see what
the
Lord
sees. God's choice. God intervenes. God chooses.
Why did he even pick Brother Thomas to have that special? This is what's going on in people's minds. Why did he even pick Brother Thomas to have that special gift with numbers? I like numbers. I was counting in 2nd grade. Why did he give it to me?
Well, I'll tell you, Jill, if you're talking about the speaking in numbers, you know, I would say, about a month? Has it been about a month, really, that I've enlightened you with what the things with the numbers are? I now speak with it, people. I mean, y'all don't know this, but I talk with Jewel about this. I tell her I'm saying this and this and this equals 7. And so then I say, and so that means that, you know, God speak agrees with me. And so basically I have this communication and I know by a certain timing that it is, if I look at the clock right now, so right now it's 1:34. So I'm talking about God speak and God is saying 1:34. Well, y'all know what 1:34 is? 7. 3 + 4 = 7. So I'm speaking of something that God's in favor of me mentioning to y'all. So God speaks in mysterious ways. God moves in mysterious ways.
Amen.
This is something we've got to open up our eyes and see.
We have to open our eyes, open our minds to the fact.
Yes.
And I'm going to emphasize this again because I know oftentimes those of us that grew up in these religious settings and groups, they try to put a certain fear on your heart and your mind that anyone that's given a gift, they need to be shamed out of having that gift. They need to be isolated. No, because God gave certain people gifts to work for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I those of you that have gifts, whatever it is, and you're using it the right way, you're helping people, you're warning people, you're protecting people. That is a gift from God, and don't be shamed of it. Okay?
No.
Don't be shamed of it. What
those
that need to be ashamed, they're not.
No.
They're not.
They're not.
Perverting justice, perverting the gift, and hurting others. And having the nerve to walk proudly with their chest out as if they're doing something
right. Well, I'll tell you something, Jewel. They're actually laughing at God. Now, who in their right mind would dare laugh at God? But they are.
In so many words, they are. Yeah. Yeah.
Because they
believe.
They're all powerful. They think they're more powerful than God.
They believe their deities are giving them shortcuts to get around righteousness. And as long as people are kept in the dark, because that's what they say a lot of these groups, right? These religious groups, these hidden groups, they have hidden knowledge. Well, let me break down what's hidden is the fact that nothing's new under the sun. They're under the moon. They're sacrificing kids, sacrificing families, perverting justice. This is the hidden knowledge that you don't know about.
Yeah.
Okay?
And we're going to bring it to light.
Okay? Anything that's not of God, we can bring to light. And we don't need any hidden knowledge. We got the wisdom from God knowledge that we are going to shed. And the wisdom that was given to James, we're having shared with us so we can share with you guys today.
Yes.
Boldly.
Exactly.
Boldly.
I just say this about me. You know, God has tasked me with being just a simple messenger. And so that's what I'm doing
and you
with
have
this
been.
Podcast.
You have been.
Thank you. And I'll tell you, that's
you know,
what
guys,
I see. It's amazing.
I have to tell you, one of the reasons because I know you guys are like, oh, Brother Thomas is always co-hosting. He's always picking Brother Thomas. One of the reasons why I love having Brother Thomas on my podcast is because he's not afraid to say what it is. And those of you who follow us and listen
true.
To Brother Thomas, it doesn't matter who you are, Fortune 500, superstar, Brother Thomas is going to call you out. If you walk in and sin, he doesn't care. Okay, that's one thing about Brother Thomas that I love. And we always say we're like, you know, brothers and sisters from a different mother,
yeah.
from, you know, but, and we have our differences of opinion sometimes.
Oh, yes, we
but
do.
That
sometimes
I love the most
about him.
We just gotta stop there, right? But the thing that
yeah.
I love about Brother Thomas is, he's authentic. I always tell you that, you know, he's very transparent. You see the emotional side of him. You see the bold side of him. You see who this man is, and he fearlessly stands up and represents God. And, you know, he's a true example of a servant of our Father. And I respect
Ooh.
Him deeply for it.
You're rolling
I know
out the red
it's
carpet
challenging.
Here.
I had to do it for you, Brother Thomas. It's challenging.
I don't take the glory.
In this world.
I don't take the glory. I'll never take the glory.
I know you're a servant, Brother. And sometimes when we work for these companies and we're affiliated with these groups and societies and organizations and the gammas and this and that and all these different things that you put your hope and admiration in, and you know deep down in your stomach that something is not right. You don't know what you're worshiping, but you seem to be getting ahead. You seem to be taking a shortcut. You seem to, you know, some children are gone missing, but you decided to turn a blind eye because you got that promotion, because you got that shout out, that, you know, special, ranking in these organizations, and you don't want to lose it, right? Because you got your $1 million house, you got your, you know, $1 million car, and, you know, these children, well, they don't matter to you, right? It's got your bloodline. Who cares? It's how you convince yourself to cope with working for darkness. And even though we may not be vast in numbers, those of us that have decided when the option was placed before us, who do we serve? Mm-hmm. And those
exactly.
of you who worked with me in the past, I know you remember me asking that question, because when I come across people that have chosen darkness, I've always asked in different times throughout my career, who do you serve? And those that do not serve the Most High God, I can always tell fairly quickly, because when I ask that question, it enrages them. Because that's supposed to be hidden knowledge. That's supposed to be a secret. Because that's what's
being
done. Well,
they thrive on deception. Jewel, they thrive on deception.
Yes. Because if you ask me, who do I serve, I won't hesitate. I won't look down.
Me too.
I won't look around. I won't feel ashamed. I won't, you know, tell you one lie and then go under the moon and do something else. I know who I serve. I know the God that I serve. And I'm willing to wait for what's mine. All right?
Amen.
I'm not sacrificing no one in my bloodline for what's mine.
Mm-mm.
All right? I'm not sacrificing anybody else's child for what's mine. I trust and have faith that even if I am going through my Job season, I'm going to come out without the smoke because I did it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, many of us, this is the time. This is the time that we're pushing through. We're pushing through and we're going the long route.
Yeah.
No shortcuts.
No.
No perversions.
No.
All right? No secrets.
No.
Right? We're ready. Hey, if this is what you say about me, Let's go. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I don't have to walk around in shame. Never have to put my head down.
No, all right, so
let's face the defamation that you put out. Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready. I'm ready to go toe to toe because I'm taking the long route. I'm facing the devil head on. All right. I've already dealt with whatever.
You got the full armor of God on you.
Praise God. Amen, brother. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And that's what we have to have on in this hour. We have to have boldness like never before.
Amen.
We have to be so courageous and willing to be called the villain in somebody's story, because you are going to be a villain in somebody's story.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
She's the one that, took away my riches.
I couldn't. Insane, corrupt.
You got to be prepared, because there's people out here that are so used to doing evil, so used to harming others to get what they want, that you're the villain for slowing that down.
Yeah.
They don't care about the blood on their hands. All they cared about was that bribery and perverting the law, like they did in this story.
So that
you
they
see
can
how
get
everything
the limelight,
comes around
so they
circle?
Can get that victory.
So they can get
that
clout. Yes, it's false. Yeah. It's false. It's cowardice.
You know what, Jill? The sad thing of it is, it's not going to get them to their promised land.
No, and many
it's
of them
not.
Have accepted it.
And so the
they
thing of it is,
already...
the promised land, people, the promised land is not your riches and glory in this world. That's not your promised land. The promised land is heaven. So everyone should strive to get to heaven. And how can we
Amen.
Get there, Jill? How can we get there?
Amen.
We can get there only one way.
Mm-hmm.
One way. We have
to trust
in Jesus.
We have to trust. I told Brother Thomas I think it was today, or maybe yesterday. These days are going by so fast. But I was telling Brother Thomas that we're at school here on earth. This is school. And some of us are learning, right? But others, they're too busy looking at everybody else's test. And we got different tests, but they're still looking over our shoulder.
They're cheating.
Thinking that they can jump the line and get somebody else's test. If I'm just two steps ahead of them, if I just watch everywhere they go and try to get there before they get there, if I just...
Right.
No, it's not yours.
Well, Jill, if we want to reference this back to the scripture, what was Saul trying to do?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
What was he trying to do? He was trying to undermine David.
Yes.
He was. He was trying to undermine David and trying to do things to David so that the people wouldn't be favoring David anymore.
Yes.
That's what he did. He tried to set up David to be slaughtered by the Philistines.
To be slaughtered.
And that didn't
he
work.
He wanted to bully David.
Yes. And
murder
then, you know,
David.
Yes. And so that's the thing. So, but see, here's the problem. God had told Saul that David is my man. And so you got to either fall in line or get out of the way. And Saul didn't like it. Because Samuel had said, you are not the true king. In other words, God had another man in mind. But he wasn't in the right place at the right time. But people, we're at that time now. We are. The time is now. You better get your house in order. You better get what you can do to basically prove that you're worthy of the Lamb of God. But let's even say this. There is not, you know, what God says is this. He loves everyone. And he says, Jesus lives. And so in my belief prayer, and I'm going to follow back always to it, you know, turn your day over to God, turn control of it over to God.
let go and let God, let him do what he's going to do. Trust and obey. Trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in who? In Jesus. But to trust and obey. So in other words, when you're living in Jesus' light, you're going to be trusting and you're going to be obeying. And so Saul, he wasn't trusting and he wasn't obeying, and he sure as heck was not willing to give up all those riches that he thought he deserved. Mm-hmm. And the accolades that he thought were manufactured for him. But they were not. So David comes along and basically steals the limelight, and he can't stand it. That evil jealousy, that demon. You know, again, we're talking about, remember the person on the right shoulder and the left shoulder? Well, what's happening? Yeah. You're listening to the devil. And Saul was listening to the devil, because the devil was saying, look here, you know, God's got his way and I got my way. And let me tell you get that man out of the way. You get David out of the way, and I'll pave the streets with gold for you. That's what he promised him. And it's a false promise. A false promise. So here's the thing. It's so simple, people. Just let go and let God. Just trust in him. God's got your back. Give him what he's required to do. He's required to step in and help you when you're failing. Did you know that? You don't have to sink and try to swim. The devil? Is he throwing you a lifeline, Jewel? Does the devil do that? Mm-hmm. No, he don't.
No.
Again, he don't care about your soul. You've already sold your soul to him. You know?
Yeah.
And you're gonna be in that in that lake of fire at the end of time, I guarantee you. If you follow the will of the devil and not the will of God. And so I'm just saying, you know, in prayerful terms, God is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. If you want to have eternal salvation, eternal living life, follow Jesus. That's all. Follow Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And I'm gonna close out with just some key things I've taken from today's scripture and call.
It's been a bunch, I'll tell you. It's been some really good nuggets.
It's a lot.
Good nuggets.
But there's some key things that I wanna leave with you, brothers and sisters, those that of you that are undergoing trials similar to that of David, and dealing with people with evil spirits that are relentless and trying to attack you at all costs. I want to remind you that David remained very calm and respectful the entire time. That to me speaks volumes in terms of leadership, and that is something that he had to go through to be prepared for the next level. In order to lead, you have to learn how to remain calm and think through your situation.
Humble.
So take that
humble.
Humility from our brother David. David behaved himself wisely, and he withdrew himself from Saul. See, our ego tells us to go and attack these evil spirits head on. And we have to use wisdom and humility to know that's not our battle to fight. We don't need to take evil head on. Let God deal with that evil and you keep rising above it. Okay? So I want to leave you with that. And then keep in mind that with all that evilness that Saul had in his heart and in his mind, and he felt he was so powerful to do these evil things and evil thoughts, he eventually fell on his own sword.
Yeah.
Do you hear me, guys? If you leave them to their own wickedness and do not engage with evil, just like it happened in the past, it'll happen again. They will fall on their own sword. All these setups and all this evilness over time, They will create their own sword to fall on. As long as you don't intervene, all right, and just like muddy the water, right?
Yeah.
Don't get in with the pigs and muddy the water. Let them go ahead and deal with all that mud, and you just stay clear and exit.
Yeah.
As Brother Thomas would exit right. You know, I want to remind you guys, because we see people put in certain leadership positions and we just think to ourselves, oh, well, because they are chief of police or because they're head of, I don't know, CIA or wherever they are in these positions, I want to remind you that Saul may have been anointed as king, right? Just like them. But he was still judged for his sins against God and David.
Right.
So it doesn't matter who you are, judgment is judgment, right?
Yes.
And you're going to have to face it at some time. And this is the real, the nuggets I'm dropping, this is the real hidden knowledge. You don't need to join an organization. I'm not even asking for payment. I'm just dropping it on you. This is the real hidden knowledge. The judgment is judgment. It doesn't matter who you are. You keep doing evil, judgment will fall upon you. That is universal law.
Amen.
No matter what your title is or what position you hold, this is a fact. Because and
there's
last,
always that
least,
pay. There's that payday someday, Jewel. That payday's coming.
That's right.
That's
payday's
right. Coming.
Last but not least, because you know this is what caused all of this madness. This was the root of all of this, what Brother Thomas and I broke down for almost the last 2 hours, jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear me, somebody? Jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
If Saul would have just been happy for David that it's now his time and to pass that baton, all of this could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
But jealousy. And then it leading to envy, envying David's leadership ability, led to all of this, him to trying to bribe and all, it's too much. All for jealousy when it's broken down and you're sitting at the table, you're sitting in court. And they're asking, how did you get me? How did you get so far? And you say, I couldn't handle the fact that God blessed this person. And I was jealous.
Right.
Are you kidding me? You tore the whole city upside down because you were jealous?
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's nothing new under the sun. And this is continuing to happen today in families, in communities, all across the world. And this is why I love what I do. I love working with Brother Thomas for Fundraising Cups Ministries and sharing this knowledge with you guys and letting you see what's happening under the veil. So thank you, Brother Thomas, for joining us today. Thank you all. Really quick, you know how I usually thank you all for messaging me. It was so many of you this past week that messaged me and checked in on my health that I was overwhelmed. And I'm so thankful and grateful that you guys cared that much, whether it was through calls. I know Brother Thomas followed me through the whole week and wanted to see how I'm feeling with photos.
It's called Big Brother. You know, it's called Big Brother.
That support. But I really do appreciate all of the love and support. Mr. Nesbitt, Mrs. Cooper, Brother Frank, Reverend Freeman, Pastor Moody, all of you. If I didn't name you, just know I really, really do appreciate all of you. I've been healing over the past week. There has been much trauma on my body. But as I'm working through this, this hurdle here, guys. Simultaneously, I'm still dealing with the enemy, the enemy set up with not, with people not taking accountability from both incidents. And, and everyone pointing their finger and hiding their hand. I'm going to stand up like David and just, you know, try to take the right way and walk with wisdom and peace. I trust our Father will restore everything that was taken from me in divine timing. So thank you, guys. Exactly. I love you all. And to all of you supporters, please continue to donate to our organization, either online or fundraisingcup.org. You can call directly at 615-205-5657. Again, you guys could support my travel business. I don't really ask for donations personally. I really do. And Brother Thomas jokes around about that a lot. He's like, you know, you could ask for help sometimes. I really don't. And I work for whatever I get. Right. So those of you, if you could support my business, I would appreciate it because I like to work for what I get. And I wouldn't mind booking your travel because that's what I do. So, again, I'm going to close out with one of my favorite gems, as I always do when you think of my podcast, and that is to remember every experience, good or bad, adds value like a jewel. Its true worth shines in the right light.
Amen.
Right, Brother Thomas? Amen.
Amen, Jewel.
All right.
Amen. This has been a long
Thank
podcast,
you guys.
But we've really appreciated the opportunity. We appreciate the opportunity to present this to you. We hope that you've gotten an enlightenment from it. We hope that it's been blessed by God. We said our prayer beforehand, and every time we do that, we do get our blessing. And I think the most importantly at all is when y'all go back and play the podcast, you get the blessing. And that's the most important thing. Because otherwise, if you don't get a blessing from it, you don't get the victory. So the blessing that you get will give you the victory. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.